How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions, featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio. And welcome to Like-Minded Friends with me, Susie Ruffle.
And me, Tom Allen. Hi.
Tom, have you got the accent yet?
Well, I try and do the accent as best I can, but I'm not that great.
I think that's not bad. It sort of sounds like maybe you're really drunk. Well, and that's why you're very slow.
Yes.
Can you say, oh, I have a flat white, please? No, you don't drink that. A black coffee, please.
A long black? Just a long black.
A long black.
A long black.
And an almond croissant.
I still don't understand what lovely croissant. I still don't understand what a long black is. I think it's an espresso.
Isn't it just two shots and then some hot water?
Oh, so that's what I make every morning.
Tom, I think you're doing a great job.
Oh, I'm basically more Australian than I realised.
Oh, you're basically a barista in Brisbane.
In Brizzy. How lovely. Well, how nice.
Oh, that reminds me of Kath and Kim. It's nice. It's different. It's unusual.
Nice.
Nice.
And I forgot their names, but I feel like one of them's called Prue.
Prue?
The character they did in the middle of each episode where they worked in the kitchenware shop in the shopping centre.
Yeah. That was so funny, Kath and Kim, wasn't it?
So funny.
I was trying to explain to Alice the other day about Summer Heights High.
Had she never seen it?
She's never seen it. And it's really tricky to be like, it's really good, but this one guy plays all of the parts and they're all in a high school and it's just so funny.
That Mr. G stuff.
Oh, it's really good. Sometimes when I'm sort of singing around the house, I'll say to Alice, it's just great for you to occasionally get like a professional level of performance, which is a butchered version of one of his lines. And she just rolls her eyes.
But I know
that she secretly loves it.
She has to. Yeah, it's very quotable.
It's very quotable.
So, yeah. But how have you been doing, Suze? Have you been having a busy time of it?
Do you know, I am. I've got my tour starting in a month and the book coming out in around that time too. Mm. And I decided that the book should come out on the day that the tour starts.
It's a great idea.
I feel quite a lot of pressure. I feel quite a lot of stress about the show being good enough, people liking the book. I feel, you know, when you've got sort of a worry at the back of your mind and it becomes sort of your internal screensaver, like when you think of nothing else, that's what comes to mind.
Absolutely. I know that feeling. Yeah. Which were, considering you're writing a book about anxiety, is perfect. Yeah.
I feel really good about it. Mm. I think I'm proud of the book. I've done the audiobook now. So that was quite exciting.
Yes. It's quite intense, isn't it?
That's quite tiring.
Yeah, quite tiring. You just go, I'm just reading.
You're just reading, yeah. Why is it so hard? But then I don't know whether I made more mistakes than normal.
No.
But you know, oh, sorry, I've got that wrong.
No, they're used to it. People do that.
But I did wear my dyslexic t-shirt, which is dyslexia spelt wrong.
That's fun.
That was mainly for the director, so he could sort of see.
What about yellow glasses? Did you wear those?
I wore my yellow glasses, really? I did, yeah.
Did everything?
Which is great because I like to look like Bono when I'm recording an audiobook. That's the main reason that I wear those glasses.
Do you insist on leaving via the emergency exit into a
waiting? Oh, I don't get that.
Into like a waiting limousine.
Oh, yes, exactly that, yeah. Yeah, I was going through my bag constantly because I still haven't found what I'm looking for.
Oh, that's good. That's very good.
Oh, it's silly. But yeah, I feel pretty good. Just, you know, allowing the anxious thoughts to come and go. Not stressing about them.
Yeah, of course.
But of course, massively stressing about them.
Yeah, of course.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. I'm fine. What am I most anxious about at the moment? Well, it's all been lots of fun. And I think I've been ready for a little bit of, not downtime, but a change of scenery time.
Yes.
And I'm trying to plan a holiday at the moment.
Change is as good as a break.
A change is as good as a break.
But a break is better, I think.
A break is ideal. Mm. But still trying to book to go to Benidorm.
Mm.
What? Now, I know your mum has been there. And I
yes,
think
she has.
The thing is, Suze, right?
Cool.
I have sometimes gone, this is my holiday. I want it to be perfect. And I put so much pressure on it that I've ended up stressing myself out.
Yes, of course.
And then being like, if something isn't right, I get really annoyed. And then that's not very restful for me or indeed my traveling
anyone.
Companion.
Yeah, of course.
Whoever's with me. So, but Benidorm, I think would be fun. And you go to it and you know you're going to have fun.
I think so too.
Have you been? Because I know your mum goes.
I've not been to Benidorm, but my mum's been. She likes it. She likes the, there's lots of like drag bars and performance bars. And I think it's just all a bit silly and fun. You know, I think that it's, I don't know how restful it will be, but of course, I imagine it's really big. So you can just decide to go to that bit or not.
Well, that was my thinking.
But maybe you want to stay a bit further out. And then if you want to go into that bit, you can just get a cabin.
Well, that's the other thought we had.
I think that might be best.
Rather than staying in the epicenter.
I think the epicenter is always quite stressful.
Right. Okay. Maybe that's
what
the
way you
to
do
it.
Get a hotel or a little villa.
I don't mind a hotel. I like that.
Yeah.
You know, you get in the lift. They've got a traffic light system for the buffet breakfast.
It's nice someone to make your bed.
A nice someone to make your bed. A few toiletries on the side.
Yeah, nice. Isn't it nice when you come back from breakfast or from the pool and your room's been done?
Your room's been done. Oh, that I love
that.
That
must be what it's like to be the queen all the time.
It must be like that.
R.I.P.
Indeed.
Must have been.
Must have
Sorry.
Been. Indeed. I mean, it must be lovely just to, I mean, just to have those things taken care of. Yeah. I think as well, I mean, when I was a child, we went a few times to a place called Javier, which is just up the coast from Benidorm. Mm-hmm. And they were some of my happiest childhood memories.
Really?
You know, learning to swim on holiday was there.
Yeah.
Also, a rotisserie chicken we had from somewhere in the port.
Nice.
I still think about that now. So
why don't you go there?
So maybe we'll go there and then just travel down to Benidorm, which I think is about 45 minutes to an hour away.
Oh, do that.
And even if we stayed for one night down in Benidorm.
Have one night in Benidorm. Mm. And then you can have like one night where you get really pissed, go and see a drag show.
Yeah, do all.
Have loads of fun.
Yeah, that would be fun, then, wouldn't it?
And then have the other time.
Go back.
Even two nights and then travel back.
Yeah, that's what maybe what we should do then. Okay, we'll do that.
There you go.
There you go. Thanks,
you know what you love. You love a woman to tell you what to do.
I do. This is difficult. Are you going somewhere, Suze?
We are going, I think we're going to Italy.
Ooh.
We're going to Italy.
Now you tell me. Great.
Now I tell you.
Very chic.
And I can't wait. Yeah, in the summer holidays.
Mm.
Yeah, I can't wait. Then we're going, we're going to do a little camping trip as well, I think. So.
Gosh, where would you go camping?
We don't
in this
know.
Country or
we
abroad?
Don't know. Yeah, in this country with some friends that are very happy campers who are encouraging us to go
I'm not gonna
for a couple of days.
I don't want to stereotype here, but are they lesbian friends?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Just checking. Well, you know they'll have that trolley thing.
Well, Tom, they've got everything. That's the thing.
They've got every. That's
they've
the
got
thing.
All the bits.
They've got all the bits that you need.
See, I think camping's quite easy if you've got all the bits, but we don't have any of the bits. And also, I don't have any patience with a tent.
As I found out, do you remember?
Oh, yeah. That was like one of the very few times ever that we've had an argument.
We didn't have an argument.
I did. Well, no, we didn't have an argument because you were too drunk to realise that we were having an argument.
Yeah.
I just told you off.
Yeah, quite right.
Tom thought it was really fun when we were quite drunk at Latitude. We'd arrived very late.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'd come, we went in a minibus after the last leg, didn't we?
That's right. Yeah, we travelled with all that gang.
With Josh and the gang. Mm. And then I was trying to put a pole
through the tent. Yeah,
and Tom thought it would be really funny if he took the pole the other side.
Well, at first I was like, it's okay, I'll help by pulling it through to make sure it reaches.
And I'm like, Tom!
And then
Tom!
I just pulled it all the way through and
but
you
we
were
didn't
so
really
angry.
Have an argument. I think I just told you.
No.
But
you
it, was right.
It was late.
I like
it was
my
like
sleep.
2 o'clock in the morning, maybe
it was
even
2 o'clock
later.
In the morning.
And also, do you remember that was when people were like, shh, people are sleeping, which is not what you want to hear.
And you were sort of doubled over.
Yeah.
It was funny.
Really funny.
But not for me in that moment.
No, for sure.
Tom, we had so many lovely messages about our correspondence episode that we've decided to do another, haven't we?
Oh, we have been further inundated.
Further inundated. So we've gone back through the postbag, got some letters that we've got in the last few weeks, and decided to share them.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Shall I begin?
Please.
I've got them right here. Sorry, have I stepped in too hard?
Not at all.
Okay. This is called On Being a Luddite. Dear Tom and Susie, wow, writing one of these emails is harder than you think. Mm. I almost spelt Susie's name wrong. Instant delete. I just wanted to write in response to the episode where you talked about the world of the future, brackets, internet and technology, and your fears about being left behind. I always enjoy listening to your chats, but especially resonated with themes in recent weeks, reducing phone use, the terrors of TikTok and so on.
Mm.
For want of a better word, I found Tom's question of, is the internet definitely a good thing, very validating?
Ooh.
As it's something I think about a lot, which does not seem to be often questioned.
Mm.
While there is ever more discussion about the dangers of phones and social media, few people seem to question if they are both intrinsically good things and necessary to modern life. Maybe one of the scariest things is the idea that we don't have a choice, that this is the way of the world is going and you either have to get with the program or be excluded. I find this frustrating and try to resist in small ways,
right,
like using cash where I can and not being on social media. Thanks for talking about this.
Yeah.
However the world is going to develop, I think some things are eternal. The value of friendship and the joy of silliness, both of which you give us in equal bounds. If you do end up reading this out, many thanks to my dear friend Alicia, who took me to one of Susie's shows and got me into the pod. I love her lots. Much, much love and all of the bye-bye-bye-byes, Sophie. And do you know what? I was interested to read at the bottom of this email, Sophie's 25. So she's quite a bit younger than us.
Oh,
and is still pushing back on sort of socials and living endlessly online, which I think
yeah.
is great.
Yeah, I think that's the case. I think there's, and I dare say it was certainly the case for me growing up, that I had an older sensibility perhaps, or a different sensitivity to what my generation was expected to have. And I think that's often the case. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people who are not, you, do you know what I mean? This is like, every young person's on TikTok. It's like, well, not every young person's on TikTok.
No. No, the majority of people aren't.
And yeah, because otherwise they'd walk into lampposts.
Well, yeah, but I always think that with tour shows. I'm like, oh God, I need to grow my social media. Oh God, I need to make sure people like my clips so that I can sell my tickets. And then you say in shows like, oh, are people on socials? And it will be like less than 50%.
And something that might have got a lot of traction or whatever online, they're not aware of it. And you realize, well,
no,
there's plenty of people, like in my family, my mum isn't on social media. My brother isn't on social
media. Your mum's not. I feel like your mum's got a massive TikTok presence.
Yes, she has. She has. Or maybe she just doesn't tell me. She's huge. So I think, I mean, those are just two people, I realize. But
no, I know. But I think there are probably people who are sort of who have become very famous because of online stuff. And maybe it's different in their crowds.
Yeah.
But then someone was telling me that they went to see a person who is a comedian, but they're sort of a TikTok comedian who has now started doing stand-up rather than the other way around.
Yeah.
And they said they went to see them and that during the show, everyone kept getting up and going for a wee, going to the bar. Because everyone had such short attention spans.
Oh my.
That they didn't... They didn't realise the sort of the contract that a comedian has with an audience of, please don't get up and go for a wee during a bit.
Yeah.
Please just sit there. You know, you're never on stage for more than sort of 45 minutes or an hour.
Very rarely. Oh, how interesting.
It's interesting, isn't it? I think we see these things as enormous. And yes, they are important to do alongside what the actual creativity is and the actual job is.
Well, that's what I often think is that I don't know. But I suppose I have to trust.
Tom, we know nothing.
We know nothing.
We've talked for 9 years on this podcast. So don't be worried about your opinions now, love.
Indeed. Indeed. I suppose for me, and I don't know if this is the case for any of our like-minded friends.
Sure.
That what social media does in a negative way, which I try and resist, is that sort of sense of comparison, compare and despair, as we've called it here.
Yes, indeed.
Since I heard that on Loose Women.
And the thief of joy, of course.
And comparison is the thief of joy. But it sort of exacerbates that to such a level, because of course that's what it's all about, isn't it? Comparison, Anya. Okay. But it's all about comparison. And go, because it's so easy then is to go like, well, they've got X amount of likes.
They're doing X and Y.
They've got this many followers. They've got this many views. And I suppose for me, I just go, oh God, what's the point? But you actually sometimes not always communicating and being rooted in your own space is maybe more creative.
Do you know, I had an experience a couple of weeks ago that, so I went on a podcast called Things People Do, and it's hosted by Joe Marler, who used to play rugby for England.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And really nice guy, really nice guy. And you talk about the jobs you did before you did the thing that you do now. And so I was talking about different things, and he was really lovely. And he asked me about heckling. And so I went into a story about a bunch of different hecklers, and then they clipped up one of the stories, obviously taken out of context, and put it online, which is a story about a man shouting at a gig, "I can fix you."
Oh yeah, I remember, yeah.
And this was before I'd got to the microphone, and he was talking about fixing me with regards to my sexuality. So what he was saying was that I was broken. And it was before I'd even got to the mic. It was years ago, before I was doing sort of my own tour shows. It was just at a comedy club. Yeah. And then I asked him to put the lights up, and then I sort of gave him, I think a drag queen would call it a read. I was very mean. And this guy was underneath it saying, oh, the self-righteousness of this comedian. He heckled and she doesn't like what he said. And then she's done the exact same thing, and then accused me of sort of saying things about his appearance, which I did because he had bullied me homophobically in the workplace. And I thought about responding it. And then I just thought, no, I'm not going to. The majority of people on the clip were all saying lovely things and being very supportive. And I even said in the clip, like, I don't like being mean, but I felt I had no other choice in that moment than to show strength. Because if you don't show strength, I wouldn't have got through a 20-minute set if the audience thought that I was weak, because
yeah,
people don't respond to weakness.
Yeah, well, stand-up comedy kind of...
You sort of can't do that in a club. You might be able to show more weakness in a, you know, in a tour show or in a, you know,
just vulnerability, isn't it? I think.
Yeah. But in that moment, if someone shouts at you and you just go, oh, okay, then the audience sort of won't respect you for the rest of your 20 minutes there. You have no choice but to be just as mean back, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's, I mean, I do not do that to an audience, and I don't pick on people. That's not my style at all. And yeah, and this guy was just being really like, well, she's as bad as him because she was being mean back to him. And there was all this back and forth, and there were like 40 odd comments or 50 comments of him and people saying to him, no, someone was being really homophobic to her at work, and she was just responding. Like, this isn't like, you know, there's heckling and then there's sort of abuse in the work. Like, it's a different thing. And look, what heckling is and what heckling isn't, I'm not going to get into, and I don't really have an opinion on it, to be honest. Yes, he could say it, but he played the game and I won. You know, that's sort of what happened. But there was part of me that wanted to sort of get involved so that I could say to this guy, hey, excuse me, like, I'm a person, I'm allowed to have feelings. And yes, maybe you don't think how I responded was perfect, but I had to just survive in that moment. And then I just thought, what's the fucking point?
I
just blocked him. And then I couldn't see anything that he was saying, but I could see other people's comments. And I just thought, why is this guy who I don't know, and has no bearing on my life and isn't going to buy a ticket to come and see me, and I probably will never encounter in the real world.
This is the guy in the comments. Sorry, not the guy in the audience.
Yeah. Why am I allowing him to have 10 seconds of my day? And so I just decided not to. So I blocked him, and then I logged out of Instagram, and then I didn't go on my phone for the rest of the day. And before I went to bed, I said to Alice, can you just check that? Because I feel like slightly stressed that something has happened.
Yeah.
And she said, no, it's just a man saying over and over again that you didn't know how to take a joke. And I was like, okay, I can deal with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's the nature of social media, I think, is that those conversations become very loud in our heads and very annoying and very, they do feel like they're taking over. When of course they're not, like we say, they're not really necessarily real. Or do you know what I mean? It's one person anonymously just sort of interacting and probably, I don't know. Like it's all, I don't know what this sort of synthetic kind of interaction is really, you know, in those kind of moments for all of us, but somehow it becomes very loud. And
well, you wouldn't listen to a load of people shouting in Wetherspoons. You know, you just go, I'm leaving this. This is insane.
Yeah.
Why are all these people shouting?
Exactly.
So this is horrid.
I definitely think as well with social media, I guess it has done some good. But I think there's, as I say, I still maintain that there's a big question over, like, has it done a lot of good? Has it done?
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, globally.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's...
Well, it's absolutely like a lot of online stuff. It's just like the Wild West.
Yeah, it's horrid.
There's no governance. There's no...
And even less so these days.
Even, yeah, it's wild. Like, it is like, and we've all just in the last 10, 15 years, like, flung open the doors. I mean, like, come into our house, of course.
Here's my bank details.
Here's my bank details, yes. And here's my family, and interact with the young people here, and or any age, really.
I find it kind of bizarre when people put their children heavily on the internet when they've not consented to it.
Well, I wonder if they'll, I mean, I don't know how the young person will feel. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, like, I think that if there were lots of pictures of me as a very small child sort of floating around the internet that you can never delete, I think I might go, oh, Mum, I kind of wish that wasn't for the whole world. That was for our family.
But then it's as well, there's such a drive, it's such a pernicious sort of drive at the moment.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about people that have like closed accounts that are showing their family and friends. I'm more thinking about the people that are sort of maybe trying to make mini celebs out of their kids. You sort of go, wow, that's...
Well, and the pressure though to be like we say, to feel validated, I suppose, by the sense of like, I put it online, it got loads of likes, so therefore we're good.
But what about if it doesn't? What about if you put a picture of your kid online and it doesn't
do that well? Then how do you feel? Yeah.
Yeah. Or like if you're trying to get your kid into, I don't know, like acting or kiddie modelling, and then, oof. I mean, rejection is hard at 39.
Yeah.
Like imagine being 10.
Yeah. Yeah.
14. Like it's just, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Absolutely.
Just my opinion. Not saying I'm right.
No.
Just saying it's my opinion.
That's what we're here for. But I think, I wonder if a lot of people are starting to think like that. I don't know. But I did kind of like the days when it was like you phoned someone up to catch up, or you met up with them.
Or you wrote them a letter.
Or indeed, you wrote them.
You sent them a missive.
Also, do you remember at school, did you have a song in assembly called "This is the age of technology"? This is the age of fun.
No, I think you've lost your way.
I don't know if any of our listeners will remember it. I'm sure that was a hymn. This is the age of technology, it was called.
Okay, please, if you're in the Bromley area.
If you remember that.
In the 90s.
I'm sure it was from the hymn book, yeah. This is the age of...
Oh, you're checking. Okay,
of technology.
Good.
Oh, it's Aquarius. It's coming up. No, that's the other one.
This is the age of Aquarius. That's a different thing.
It was very like very 1989.
Was it indeed?
No, I'm not seeing it. No.
Okay great
No. But if you did have it at your school, probably no one did, but if you did,
no. If you remember this brief part of Tom's childhood, do get in touch. Shall we have one more email?
Why not, Suze? Why not? Hi, Susie and Tom. Huge fan of the pod, but this is the first time I've written to you. A lot of first-time writers today. Isn't that lovely? Wanted to pop you a message after this week's ep where you talked about seeing your pharmacist. I'm a pharmacist. Brackets clang.
Clang.
Clang question mark. They're not sure. And thought you should know that all pharmacies have a private consultation room, and you can absolutely come in and ask at the counter to have a private chat with the pharmacist. If you don't want to tell the whole town about your kidney chill, we're always happy to see you and often glad of the chance to have sit down as we're on our feet the rest of the day. Keep doing what you're doing. And Susie, I can't wait for your book. Bye, 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 bye. And that's from Abby. Abby, thanks for that insight.
Good to know. That's so good to know. I will be nipping off to my pharmacy now.
Right now. Ask for a private consultation.
I'm going to ask for a private, and I'm going to get totally nude. Just show them everything.
Absolutely.
Is this okay? Does this look all right to you?
I don't know if that's part of it, Suze, but do check first. do ask them.
Is there anything that looks wrong on this?
As I say, do check. The thing is, though, I think I'd feel self-conscious to be like, hi, can I have a chat in the consultation room? Because everyone in the queue would be like, what's wrong with
STI?
What's wrong with him? Yeah, exactly. But I suppose with getting older, one does learn to get over these things. But that's my sense anyway.
But do it, Tom. I'm going to do it. You should do it too. See you in a minute, Abby.
See you in a
minute. I'll be around in a minute, Abby. If you want to send us an email, you can.
Yes.
It's always lovely to receive these emails. The email is hello@likemindedfriendspod.com.
Absolutely.
And we love to hear from you.
We love to hear it. And
we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week. If you are listening to this as it goes out, mm-hmm. I am in Brisbane.
Mm-hmm. Clang.
Clang this evening and tomorrow, and Sydney on Friday.
Clang again.
What is that? The 26th?
5th.
So
25th is the Friday, my love.
Oh, 25th Friday. And also, Suze, your I want to talk about your book and your tour, which start in a matter of weeks now.
No, a month and a bit. Sorry, a month and a bit still.
Very exciting.
5th of June, the tour starts 5th of June.
5th of June.
A lot of the dates are already sold out. Although if you live in Chelmsford, let me tell you, there's availability.
You want to go to see that show.
You got to come if you're in Chelmsford. Yeah. And I think Colchester.
Ooh.
What is it about? That's Essex. About Essex, isn't it? What does Essex like me? But the rest of the dates of the June dates are pretty much sold out.
Great, Suze. That's wonderful.
And lots of the autumn ones are already pretty near. Mm. And if you wanted to come to the London one, the Bloomsbury date sold out quite quickly. So I'm doing a show at the new Soho Theatre Walthamstow.
Oh, great.
Which is in this, the Soho Theatre have renovated this enormous old cinema.
Oh.
To become it's really beautiful. It's going to be really special. So I'll be doing my show there. It's a 900 seater and I'm shitting myself slightly,
but
it seems to be something okay. So
it'll be great.
Do come along to that.
Oh, for sure.
And if you buy the book, please bring it to the tour shows because there'll always be an opportunity for me to sign them and say hello if you want it. You might get it and think, I don't need you to sign this. And I totally respect that opinion as well.
Would I be right in saying it's good for people to pre-order the book?
Tom, you would be so right to say
before the release date. So if you're thinking about getting the book, you're going, oh, I'm definitely going to buy that. If you buy it sort of now before it's come out, then it helps.
Basically, the more pre-sales you get, the more it sort of gets pushed.
Yeah.
By certain retailers, and it means that smaller independent bookshops might start stocking it and all that sort of thing. So as Tom said, if you're thinking, I'm going to buy the book, if you could pre-order it.
If you're in a position to pre-order it, then
yes, if that's possible, that would be amazing because it would really help get the book out there.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Thomas, for allowing me to plug.
Always plugging. No problem at all. All right. Well, we should let the listeners go, but thank you so much, everybody. Have a great week.
Yes, have a great week. We'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.